We only have two letters left. So bear with me. I enjoy this very much. I get mixed feedback, but okay, we have two letters left, letter Resh, letter Tav, and then perhaps we'll also do just a general shiur on the letters in general, Man Sepach, and a little bit of general. But tomorrow we're going to take a break. Tomorrow we'll learn about Parsha Shkolim. This week is Parsha Shkolim. So today we'll conclude with the letter Shin. And then we'll take a break for a day. And then next week we'll see also when we're doing some in Yoni Purim, 2 weeks until Purim. But today we're going to discuss the letter Shin. So there are, I like to always present you with a big, deep insight into a letter. Unfortunately, I don't really have any big deep theme. Let's just go through a couple of small ideas relating to the letter Shin. Okay, let's start with probably the most famous Shin. What is the most famous Shin? The Shin on the tefillin. Everyone on their tefillin, on your tefillin, etched into the folds of the tefillin, embossed into the tefillin, is the letter Shin. Everyone sees the letter Shin. So Chazal tell us, "Lo kol ami aris ki shem Hashem nikro lecha v'yodu mimeka." Elu tefillin sheberosh, and some say really refers to the shin on the tefillin sheberosh, because the shin on the tefillin sheberosh is the first letter of Hashem's name, Shakai. Shin dalid yud. The shin is etched into the folds of the tefillin. The dalid is the kesher on the back of the tefillin, and the yud is the kesher on the yud. When you tie the tefillin shoyah, you have a yud. Why is there, besides that it being the first letter of Hashem's name, why is there a shin on the tefillin, and why are there two shins? On the right side we have the shin that has three heads, and on the left side there is a shin that has four heads. What is all of this about? So first of all, not everyone says that the shin is part of Hashem's name, Shakai. That's Rashi says that in the Gemara, but somewhere in the shin, how do we spell shin? Shin, yud, nun. Right? Shin, yud, that when you spell shin out in its entirety, it stands for Shem Hashem Nikra. Nun is Nikra. Yud is yud kei vav kei. So when you see the shin on the tefillin, it represents that Shem Hashem Nikra Olecha V'yaru Mimech. It refers to this idea. And why there are two shins? So one answer is that the combination of four and three equals seven. The seven Kenei Haminor. Indeed, when you put on the, when you wrap the Ritzuos, you say the pasuk that Kadosh Baruch Hu Shemashpia upon us Al Shiva Kenei Haminorah. It represents the, what is the menorah? The menorah represents Torah, the light of Torah. What does it say in the Torah about tefillin? Leman tihye toiras Hashem b'ficha. The reason why we wear tefillin is that the Torah of Hashem shall be b'ficha. The menorah in the Beis Hamikdash represents, captures the essence of the Or HaTorah. Shem and Zayizach Koslam. Or we know there are two kelim. There's the Or and there's the Torah Shabbal Peh. And that's why there are seven branches to correspond to the Shivas Kenei HaMenorah. Another reason given why there are three and four, where it connects us with our roots. Who are our roots? The Avos and the Imahos. The three branches on the right side correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the four branches on the other side correspond to the four Imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Another reason given is the three represent, this is an incredible idea, this is very good for Kirov, another idea given is that the three represent Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. The four on the right side represent Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, and Osed Lavo, Gerim. All of those that will join Klal Yisrael, I think the Zohar says this, all those that la'asalavo, it's a letter that's not a letter from today's time, it's a letter referring to what's going to be Yimos HaMashiach, la'asalavo, there are going to be nations that are going to be inspired, Klal Yisrael will be la'or la'amin, and they will join in serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the letter of la'asalavo, the fourth branch, the Gerim, that join Klal Yisrael. Another reason for the three and the four, another reason given is this idea, I think a Kabbalistic idea, that when the Luchos were shattered, on the Luchos, the shin had four heads. Our shin today only has three heads. But it used to be that a shin had four heads. And when the Luchos were shattered, that letter was lost from us. It was taken away from us. La'asalavu, it will be restored. But we allude to the fact that this once upon a time used to be part of our letters on the Luchos, but we yearn for it to return, but in the meantime it is in hiding. Now there's another very famous, but I'm sure you are aware of that, if you take the letter Shin, the letter with the four heads, and you turn it upside down, the white part forms a shin with three heads. You have to see the picture to appreciate this. They have this in the art scroll, by Monk's art scroll book, The Wisdom of the Hebrew Alphabet. They actually show you, you take the letter shin of four heads, and you superimpose upon it the shin of three heads upside down. The blank space, the empty space of the shin of four heads forms the letter shin of three heads. So the truth is, there's really only one shin. There's only one shin. The shin represents Hashem. Shem Hashem Nikra. But at times, Hashem is in the open. It's apparent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us and He's guarding us. But at times, Hashem is hidden. V'anochi haster aster panai. Hashem hides Himself. The miracle of Purim. Hashem is there. The shin is there. Shem Hashem Nikra. But Hashem is in hiding. And the truth is, the whole idea of tefillin, in a very, very, very broad sense, captures the idea of hester panim. Tefillin are black. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, the ritzuos are black. The meaning is make tefillin black. Black is the color which represents darkness. Choshech. Hester panim. The inside, the Hashem's name doesn't appear anywhere in the tefillin. You don't see Hashem's name in the open. On the tzitz, it's open. Kodesh l'Hashem. But in the tefillin, Hashem's name, the parshios, where Hashem's name appears 21 times, is wrapped doubly. It's inside the folds of the batim, and even inside the batim, it's covered in a layer of parchment. When you ever see the inside of the tefillin, you take the parshios, and they wrap it in, it must be wrapped in parchment, and they tie it with a hair, the hair of an animal, and then they insert it into the batim. That means that Hashem's name is doubly concealed, representing the idea, capturing the idea, the Anochi Haster Aster Ponai. I will hide myself doubly. Two expressions of hiding. This is what represents the idea of Hester Ponai. Where did the tefillin go? It goes Bein Einechem. What else do we have in the Torah that refers to Bein Einechem? A Karcha. Loisosimu Karcha Bein Einechem Lemeis. It represents the idea of grief, mourning, death. Death, it represents the ultimate Hester Ponim in this world. Why is there death? How do we relate to death? It is the ultimate form of Hester Ponim. And that same Malkum, where a non-Jew would gash himself, we put on tefillin on that exact same Malkum to represent that we have to have emunah even in the darkest of times. So in essence, the entire concept of tefillin represents the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding Himself. And that is why it is so appropriate for there to be an invisible shin on the tefillin. There's the visible shin on the right side of the tefillin. That's the shin of Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, the shin which represents Shakai. But then there's the shin of the Dalid, the foreheads. The shin of the Dalid heads forms in between the four. It forms an invisible shin of three heads to allude the Anochi Haster Aster Panai. Hashem is there also. Hashem is there even in times of Hester Panai. Okay, that's another idea why we have the shin. Now the shin, another reason why we have the shin, the numerical value of the shin is 300. Now again, tefillin is dark. Dark represents Midas Hadin. Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. Midas Harachamim is Yud Kei Vavkei. Midas Hadin represents, carries with it the theme of darkness. Hashem is harsh. Hashem is, there's perfection. If you take the Elokim, Hashem's name Elokim is Bigamatra 86, is that correct? 86? Yeah. If you take Elokim and you spell out each one of the letters, Aleph, Aleph, Lamed, Pei, Lamed, Lamed, Mem, Dalet, Hey, Hey is two Heys, Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet, so on and so forth, Mem, 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 if you spell Hashem's name, what is the Gematria when you spell Hashem's name? 300. You spell out Elokim in its full form, try it, don't trust me, that's Shin. The shin is Bigamatria 300. So when the shin appears on the tefillin shel rosh, it represents Shem Hashem Nikra. Besides Shin Yud Nun, Shem Hashem Nikra, Shin, the number 300, carries the numerical, the full numerical value of Elohim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God. He rules this world. And especially when we're dealing with tefillin, which represents the midah of din, represents the midah of being hidden, of concealment, where Hashem is not out in the open, there, the number 300 is very appropriate to capture HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, in the Osios Mansip Emosios Atbash, one of the systems of the Aleph-Bez, where we need to change the first letter of the Aleph-Bez with the last letter. Aleph is matched to Tof. Bez is matched to Shin. So when you take Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and you match it with its corresponding letter in Atbash, you get Mitzafet, Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi. What's the gematch of Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi? It is Begamatria 300. So even Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is alluded to in the Shin, the letter Shin. So you have two Shins. You have the Shin of 3 and Shin of 4. You have two Shins. One is the Shin of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and the other is the Shin of Elohim. Hashem, and the Yom Biro, Hashem Elohim. There are two Shemos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and Elohim. Elohim spelled out in its full form equals 300. And Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, when they are interchanged with the corresponding letter of Atbash, is the gematria of 300. So you have two shins, the shin of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and the shin of Elohim. Okay. Another reason why there's a shin on the tefillin, this is brought down, many of us say the same idea, is because we wear tefillin approximately 300 days a year. When you subtract Shabbosos, there are 52 Shabbosos, and there are approximately 13 days of Yom Tov that we do not wear tefillin, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, L'chutz Eretz, 2 days Yom Kippur, two days of Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos. So you get approximately, you have to work out the calculation, the different calculations, how it works out, Eretz Shol, you get approximately 300 days a year when you wear tefillin. Another reason why the letter Shin appears on the tefillin.
Cholamoyed,
some do, and Lubavitch. Sex the numbers. If you wear tefillin, otherwise, someone's Lubavitch, they don't wear tefillin on Cholamoyed. It's a joke. You have to go to a Lubavitch on Cholamoyed. A Litvak has to go over to a Lubavitch on Cholamoyed and grab him and say, "Did you put on tefillin today?" Can I help you? Maybe you need some help. Okay.
With a little bit of sand.
The Ashkenazi don't put tefillin?
Some do, some don't. It depends where you come from.
Different minhagim.
Okay, so these are some of the ideas. Okay, now let's go to. I think pretty much that covers the reason. Okay, another idea similar to the luchos, similar to the idea of the luchos that according to the Kabbalists, that Rizal, that the letter Shin with the foreheads refers to Olam Haba. It's the Shin Olam Haba, so there's Olam Hazeh. A Jew has Emunah. Tefillin represent Emunah. There's Emunah to survive in this world, and you have Yatar Emunah in Olam Haba, so that's why we have the two Shins, the Shin of Olam Hazeh. And again, the whole essence of Tefillin is V'anochi Haster Aster Panai. Emunah. Emunah in Olam Hazeh and Emunah in Olam Haba, the two different types of shins. Okay, I think that pretty much concludes the reasons why we have all of the shin on the tefillin, a whole number of reasons. Now let's go to another idea. The letter Shin represents the concept of fire. This is a very powerful theme that appears in many svarim, many different forms. And number one, it flickers. Okay, there are three heads. So it looks like the bottom, the base of the shin is the coal, is the gacheles. And from the gacheles is coming forth flames, flickers of fire, three heads, and refers to fire. Now, to prove this idea, let me just prove you this idea. This is a letter shin. It's not just a drush. I'll give you two examples of where we find this idea. These are not my rayos, but this is Rabbi Chil Michel Stern. He brings out this idea. All the svarim say the same, and they all focus on this idea that shin represents fire. We have shamayim. Chazal said, what is shamayim? It's a Gemara. It's even Rashi brings down. Shamayim is a shumayim. Now the problem is, where, because shamayim is a composite of esh and mayim. Where? Shin, mem, yud, mem. Mayim and shin. So where do you get, where in the word shamayim do you get the word esh, fire? The answer is the shin itself is esh. just the letter Shin. Shin is Eish. You see this from Chazal. Since Chazal tell us that Shamayim is a composite of Eish and Mayim, and the word Shamayim has four letters, most words have only the Sharish, and most words is either three, and some are two, depending on Rashi and Menachem Ben Surak, either two or three. But where do you get? You have a word and a Sharish of four letters. Mem, Yud, Mem, Mayim, and you have a Shin. So Chazal tell us that the Shin represents Eish. So you see, just the letter Shin carries Eish. And when you put Shin with Mayim, you get Shamayim, the combination of Eish and Am. Another example, Kelayim. If a person has plants two seeds together, two different varieties, and they grow together, the Pasuk says, don't do this. Because if you do this, pen Tukat. Now what is Tukat? It has to be destroyed. And Chazal, what is the word? Pen tuk dash. That's the word of the Torah. Pen tuk dash. Four letters. And Chazal said, what does it mean tuk dash? Tukad ish. If you plant two seeds together and they grow, then tuk dash. Tav, vav, kuf, shin. Chazal, tukad, take the first three letters. It'll be kindled, shin, fire. It will have to be destroyed. It will become osur behana, pentukad ish. Another example with just the letter shin itself represents the concept of fire, ish. Now you can say very simply that since the word ish are two letters, aleph shin, and the aleph many times is a vowel. It's not really a letter that has a sound. Doesn't count. Many times the aleph is swallowed into a letter that comes after or precedes it. So the aleph relative to the shin is not significant. Just the letter shin captures the essence of ish. So there are three different examples to bring out this point, that the letter shin is fire. Shamayim, pen tuk dash, which Chazal took out ish, and ish itself has an aleph. An aleph relative to another letter many times falls away. Just the letter shin itself is a word, is a concept. You don't have that by all the other letters. You never had a letter which in itself captures a certain idea, like tzadi. A tzadi is a tzadik. That's a Gemara. That's not really what a tzadi is. Tzadi is tzadi dal yud. We now expand it to tzadik. But it's tzadi. But when it comes to the letter shin, the whole letter shin itself captures the concept of ish. And that opens up a whole new world. So there are three colors. Right? There are three colors in fire. There is black, there is white, and then there is this yellowish. You have to look carefully at different types of fire, different types of fuels, but there are generally three colors in a fire. So that refers to the three branches of the shin. The shin has three branches. We represent the three different parts. You have to ask a scientist to explain to you that fire, anything which is burning, there are really three parts, three components of fire. You familiar with this? There are three components, and those three components can be visible to the naked eye by looking at the three different colors. Look very carefully at a candle. Right around the wick, you'll see a blackness. Then you'll see a white, and then on top of the white, you'll see like a yellowish fuzz. These are the three different parts of fire which are visible to the naked eye, which really correspond to the three different rosh and three different branches of the shin. Now, fire in Shir HaShirim is associated with love. That the love that we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is committed to an Eish Shal Hevesya, a flame of fire, fire that we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the fire there are three parts, which Chazal tell us, Yisrael, Yoraisa, Yekud Shabrichu, Chari, there are three loves. There's a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a love for Klal Yisrael, and there's a love for Torah. What about the fourth branch? So the Mekubalim say the fourth branch on the shin of the Dalai Rashim, on the other side of the tomb, the left side, refers to the love of Eretz Yisrael. And that love will only be developed with the coming of Mashiach, Yimos HaMashiach, with Gula Shlema, when we once again come into Eretz Yisrael. The love will be so intense, we'll all come. We're learning Ezra. Unfortunately, only 1,700 people decided to come at the second Aliyah. 42,360 came originally, but there is this idea of Eish Shal Hevesya. Okay, now let's go to a person. A person, the pupil of an eye is called Ishoin Bas Oyin. The pupil, because a person is an Ish. Ish also relates to fire. A person, to a certain degree, is made up of two parts. Ish, ish and Mayim. A person is the soul of the neshama of burns, ki ner Elokim nishmas Adam. The ish, the living part of man, is the flame of the neshama. So man also, to a certain degree, is called ish. It's compared to this fire. Okay, another idea why there are three heads on a shin, because the shin is the 21st letter in the aleph base. What is 21? Ach. 7 times 3. When do we have now 7 times 3? 21 is not just a quint, it's a nice number. It's very significant in our yearly cycle. 2 times a year do we focus on 21 days. The 3 weeks. The 3 weeks from Shavuot to Tammuz until Tisha B'Av, these are 21 days of mourning. And those 21 days of mourning correspond to the 21 days of Simcha. The first 21 days of Tishrei, from Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Teshuvah Yom Kippur, and then until Sukkot, through Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. There are 21 days. There are 3 weeks. We really have 22 days because of Sfeika D'Yoma. But Mikra Adin, there are 21 days from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres. 3 weeks. Those 3 weeks correspond to the 3 weeks. Those are 3 weeks of Simcha. V'hoyisa ach sameach. Those days of Tshuva, of Yom Hadin, Tshuva, all lead up. It's a process when you come to the ultimate Simcha on the 21st day. Ach. Sameach, Ach Sameach, the 21st day of the month, which is Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres. That corresponds to the 21 days, the gradual process of where we minayate in Simcha, the 21 days of the 3 weeks of Shavuos Tammuz, the 9 days, leading to Tisha B'Av, where the Simcha is ultimately diminished. So Shin is 21. It's the 21st letter in the letters. And Shin has 3 Roshim, 3 Zions. Okay, the Roshim can be viewed, not only Zayin, Zevav, Yuds, but it can be viewed as 3 branches, which represent the 3 different parts of the process of 21, the 3 weeks, which can go either for Simcha, or Rachman Lutzam can go not for Simcha, and then fine. That's the idea. Now, should also represent the concept of Sheker. The Gemara says that Sheker, Ein Loi Raglayim, Sheker, the 3 letters are next to each other, Shin, Kuf, and Reish. Well, the order is really, first comes the Kuf, Reish, and the Shin. The Shin comes in the beginning, but the 3 letters are next to each other. The Gemara tells the reason why the letters, because Shikra is Matsu. The whole world is full of Sheker. Wherever you turn to Sheker, Enes, Aleph, Mem, Tav, those are the 3 extremes of the Aleph base. This is the Gemara, famous Gemara, that's very hard to find Enes. Enes is difficult to find, but Sheker is all over the place. Sheker spells Shurok. Shurok is a Vav. You have a word, and you have a Vav, and the dot in the middle. That's one of the vowels, how to pronounce a word. In the first pasuk of Bereshis, Bara Elokim is Hashem V'Yetzer, all of the different vowels appear. The Patach, the Tzere, the Kamatz, the Cholam, except for the Shurok. The Shurok is the only vowel that does not appear in the first pasuk of Bereshit, because Shurok is Osio Sheker. It's the lois of Shin. Shin is Sheker. Sheker is a point. Doesn't have a base. Sheker in Leraglayim. And that's why the first pasuk of the Torah cannot begin with Sheker. No iota of Sheker, so even the vowels cannot Merame Sheker. The Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, and Sarah, all of us also do not have the name. They have all of the different types of vowels, but there is no Shurok. All of the letters that are spelled, they have like an Aleph. You spell Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Every letter you spell, you need other letters to fill in the gap. None of those letters, all the letters, do not include in the spelling, in the full spelling, the letters, not only the Shurok, even the letters of Shin, Kuf, and Resh. Because the Oisios of the Aleph base represent Torah, Torah is Kula Enes. And therefore, even in the full spelling of each letter of the Aleph base, besides the first letter, you have no choice, Shin, Kuf, Resh, the first letter, but in the spelling, the full spelling, you don't have any remez of Sheker. There are other examples that we don't have, where we don't have any remez of Sheker. That appears, okay, it's not in the first pasuk, not in the Avos Nimos, and in the Aleph Beis, and in Hashem's name, all of the Shemos She'enam Nimchakim. Hashem has many names. Hashem, Tzavakos, Elokim, Kel, and all of the various names which may not be erased, there is no vowel shurak, because Hashem is Kula Emes. Being that Hashem is Kula Emes, you cannot have in Hashem's vowels any reference of a shurak. And they are the Avos, the Imos, Zera Emes. Their seed of truth, you cannot have any reference to shurak. Now I'll tell you a little joke. A shin is sheker. Why is a shatran called a shatran? Sheker doiver kesef notel. Shatran. You never heard this before? Sheker doiver kesef notel. That's the Rosh Tevesh for a shatran of shin. Okay, now I think an idea. You never heard that before? Alright. Shakai. This is another interesting idea with regard to the shin. Hashem's name is Shakai. One of the most basic names of creation is Shakai. Abraham, Avraham, Bekel Shakai. Hashem appeared to Avraham, Bekel Shakai. Shakai represents the name. No glitter, no smoke and mirrors, just the very basic name of Kamesh Baruch Hu, and it stands for Sh'omar L'Olam Adai. Hashem hid himself. The name Shakai represents Tzimtzum. Hashem hides himself. He created a world, and the world was expanding and expanding, and had Hashem let the world expand further, it would have been obvious that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists. The whole world would sing Shira. So Hashem said, but that's not the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to give man an opportunity to find me, to play hide and seek. The purpose of creation is I should conceal myself and let man find me. She'omar le'olamai dai. Hashem said to enough. Don't continue the process of creation because I don't want it to be obvious I am the creator. Let man find me. That's dai, enough. Hashem did not create man with a bris milah, because Hashem says, I want you, man, I want you to finish the job. I want you to be mashlim the bria. Everything that we do in this world is in the form of finishing off HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose of creating this world. So that's Hashem's name. She'omar lo'olamai dai. That means that the letter shin in Hashem's most basic thing. This is the most barest. This is the skeleton of the world. Not Yudke Vavke. Not Elohim. Not Eke. Shakai. Shakai is the Avram Avinu. Only knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our forefather, Avram Avinu. Vo'era el Avraham bekel Shakai. And what is the shin? She'omar. She'omar lo'olamai dai. Shin represents, in the most barest form, Hashem spoke. Hashem created the world. Baruch, we say every day that. What is the beginning of Baruch? The beginning of davening. Baruch She'omar V'Hoyo Ha'Olam. The Shin, to a certain degree, is the most basic letter of creation, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Asara Mamoros. Right? The world was created with 10 utterances. Asara Mamoros corresponding to Asara Sadibros. She'omar, the Shin of Hashem's most basic name, represents the HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. He had a will that the world shall come into existence.
What is the connection Shaddai with Shaddai?
Okay, there's not enough for now. Another idea. The shin in represents koyach. How does it represent koyach? Because in the word, there's a little bit of a drush, a little bit of a in a word, a shin is a shimush. It's a servant, in that it always refers to a share. What do I mean? I'm going to give you an example. Ma she na'asa hu she ye ose. So one of a million examples. Ma she na'asa. How would you translate, expand the word? Ma asher na'asa hu asher ye ose. The letter shin serves as a word asher. It shortens, instead of writing two words, asher, na'asa, asher yoseh, you can substitute the word asher with the letter shin. Ma shenaso hu shiyoseh. That means the word shin is a placeholder for the word asher. What is asher? Asher shibarta. You ever say someone shkoyach? Shkoyach? What is shkoyach? There's no word shkoyach. That's a convention. Yasher klichacha. If you go and you tell someone yasher klichacha, they'll look at you like you're from Mars. For some reason, I don't know why, on our slang, we say shkoyach. I don't know why. What? That's the way it is. You can't change the world, and you shouldn't try. Don't try to change the world. That's the way it is. Shkoyach.
I will forget.
What?
I will forget you.
You will forget me?
Shkoyach,
to forget.
Yeah.
Shkoyach. Asher yiyasher koychacha. May your strength be firm. May you have power. Power to you. And where does that come from? Asher. From the word asher means go in the straight path. Asher Shibarat Hashem said the most. So we see the word Asher means Abroch Koyach. And what is Shin? Shin is the placeholder for Koyach. So the letter Shin, in essence, you go through this chain rule, is Asher, and Asher is He Asher. It is the bracha that Hashem gave Moshe. When Hashem wanted to thank Moshe Rabbeinu, he did a good job. What did Hashem say? Hashem told him Asher. And Asher means Yasher Kolechacha. That's how it's interpreted. So we have the letter Shin. It's really a bracha, power to you. Yasher Kolechacha. And that could be another reason why we have a Shin on the tefillin. Because when Asher on the tefillin, what we're doing, we're putting on the tefillin, you're connecting yourself like Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Kaviyachu, you're saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yasher Kolechacha. May your power in this world be Yashar. In other words, may you increase your power, may you reveal yourself, expand the awareness of your existence in this world. You're giving a bracha to Kadosh Baruch Hu by putting on tefillin. That's what the Shin. Hashem is Asher Yasher Koychacha. Okay, Shir Hashirim begins with a very large Shin. So why? Why is that so? So one very nice interpretation I saw is because in the letters of the Atbash, you match up the first letter to the last letter, so the base is matched up to the Shin. The beginning of the Torah begins with the base. The Torah is called the Shir. V'ata kisvu lechem, a big base. V'ata kisvu lechem es hashira hazos. Shir Hashirim is the Shir Hashirim. It's the song that we sing to Hashem. It's the Shiruch. The Torah is the Shir that Hashem sings to us. Shir Hashirim is the song that we sing back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Zivuk. Shir Hashirim was meant to be the mate for the Torah. There are two songs. Kisvu Lechem is Hashir HaZos, the big bass, and the big bass in Atbash is matched with a Shin. So the Shir Hashirim gives the big Shin. It's the Zivuk of the two Shiros. Hashem sings to us by giving us the Torah. We sing back to Hashem by singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Shir Hashirim. Another reason why the Shir is because in the Shir Hashirim, Hashem's name does not appear anywhere. Just like in the Megillah, people think that the only place where Hashem's name does not appear is only in the Megillah. That's not true. There's another place where Hashem's name does not appear. In Shir Hashirim. It could be, it's the only place. There's the only two, Megillah and Shir Hashirim. I'm not sure. I think every other Sefer, Hashem's name appears. Megillah's Esther, that's why Seferim, when they write a Sefer, they start with a practice with the Megillah, because he can't mess up. There's no Shemos. There's no Shemos. But Shir Hashirim, everything alludes to Hashem. Shal HaVeska, they have Yud Kei, but it's not Mamish Hashem's name explicitly. There's no Shem Hashem. But the last letter of Shir Hashirim is a Mem. What's the last pasuk? I don't remember. B'samim is a Mem. Mem, B'samim. And the first letter is Shin. Is Shin? Shame. What does Shame refer to? Hashem. What he's trying to tell us is that in the big Shin, capital Shin, a big Shin, what Shame? Hashem's name. The entire Shir Hashirim is one Shame, one expression to express the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why there's a big Shin in the beginning. It ends with a Nem, a capital Shin, the Shame Hashem, the whole Megillah is covered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we have a Shin, unusual, we have a small Shin in the Megillah. Parshandos. That's the different Messiahs. There are different versions of which Shin is small, but one is either it's Parmashta. Pamashta. There's Parsha and Dasa, there's Bo. It depends. There are different traditions. You have to look in the Svarim, there are different, some have Parsha and Dasa, Parmashta. But let's, I think, work with Parmashta. There's a small shin. Now, it's very interesting. This is something which you're not going to teach the children. But what does Parmashta mean? So you'd be shocked to know that Parmashta means the Aver Zohar. It's not a clean word. Okay, you would not even say it in English. That's what the word Parmashta means, the Aver Zohar.
Now who would give somebody a name like
that? So that's exactly the point. That wasn't necessarily his real name. His real name was Parmato, without the shin.
So what did they give?
That was his real name. We're mocking him. When we read the Megillah, it's like a Litzonis. I don't think today would go off well, this type of Litzonis today.
You'd
be thrown out of class for such a Litzonis. Exactly. Parmashta. And this is a typical style that whenever you have a small letter, it's always meaning don't read the word as if the letter is missing. So his real name was Parmata. But it was added a shin to make Litzonis of him by calling him by the name of the Aver Zohar, Parmashta, and it's a small shin to indicate that it was in. And why would we make Litzonis of him? So there's a medrash that says that what was Amalek? What did Amalek do? Amalek, one of the things they made Litzonis of was the Orla, the Bris Mila. And they mocked the Jewish people. They took the Orlos of the Jewish people and they threw it to Shemayim. They cut off the foreskins. And they threw it into Shemayim to make Litzonis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want the Jewish people to have a Bris Mila? Huh, here's the Bris Mila. And they threw it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They made Litzonis. The Aseres Bnei Haman with the Zera Amalek. And they made this Litzonis. And one, there's a Medrash that says that led the way in this Litzonis. They were Goizer on Mila and made Litzonis. Was this person Parmata? That was the one. In order to remind us of the Litzonis, the Rishis, of what he did to mock the Ois, the Bris, Beini Ubein Echem, the treaty between me and you is the Bris Mila, Bris Zera Kodesh, which represents, so it's not now giving a shame Bris Mila, where Bris Mila represents the one that made it with this person, and this person happened to be that his name was very similar to the Avis Zachar, so to bring and to elude all of these things together, that he got what he deserved and he was destroyed, and we don't forget what he tried to do, and he tried to be Goizer on Bris Mila. So we call him by the name of Parmashta, and that's what the letter is. The letter is small. That is one reason why the letter is small. Another reason why the letter is small is another medrash. We know in the Megillah, like Yehudim Ha'atzma Oira Simcha Sasan Vikar. Vikar Elu Hatzfilin. It's the crown. It's the Yikar, the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Why do we focus so much on Tfilin? Because one of the Gezeros, in the time of Purim, this midrash, a lot of history has been lost from us. We don't appreciate exactly what happened at the time, but with Tfilin. Tfilin was a very big issue. At the time of Purim, they were going around Tfilin, the Sheik Yisheba. Really, Yisheba, Hashem, Nikro Lecha. Really? They were going around Tfilin. Who was the one that signed the decree that Jews may not wear Tfilin? It was Parmashta. Let's make believe his name was put the Shin. Let's assume that his name was Parmashta the Shin. And if, what's thicker of the Shin, the most, what irritated Parmashta about the Tfilin? Kishem Hashem Nikro Lecha. The Shin. Shin is Shem Hashem Nikro. Therefore, he could not tolerate this, so therefore, he goes there. So therefore, to show, to remind us that his shin was diminished, he tried to take away Hashem's shin, we take away from him a shin. It's also interesting that Parmata in Persian, so the real name was, his real name was Parmata, according to the first interpretation. We had a shin to make litzonis of him, we refer to Eva Zohar. But Parmata means a masve. I don't know how this ties into costumes. But in Persian, look up in your Persian dictionary, Parmata means a masveh, means a mask. And in Purim, we wear costumes. Well, at least children wear costumes. But okay, that's something that is interesting about the small letter. Other gears, they say in a parshan dasa, the shin is small. I don't know the different versions. I think I don't think we do that, but some do that. And
it was festival on the
what?
Three names of
Basar's small letters. What are the three you have in front of you?
Yeah, by Zasa, Parmashta, and Parshandosa. Asaf, Shin, and Zion.
Tov, Shin, Zion, that was the year of Purim Fest, right? That was the famous story when they hung 10 Nazis, And the Nazis said before he was hung, he said, Purimfest 19, what do you say? So Tov Shin Zayin was the year when 10 Nazis were hung. And Haloi Davar, it's obviously there's something there. Okay, let's...
That was the Bechor of Amon or Rasha?
What?
Was the first born of Amon?
The first... I don't understand.
The Ben Bechor of Amon was Parmashta?
One of the ten sons was Parmashta. Yes. Okay. One. Okay. Yisachar. Okay. We are Ramayevsky. How do you learn Yisachar in the Torah?
You say Yisachar.
It's Chassidish of blood.
Yeah, I know. I said I come from a mixed marriage.
Okay. Chassidish of blood. Yisachar. So there are two sins. The first time. Okay. There are different minhagim. Some say only the first time. I think Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer says that the first time, and from there on they say only say Yisachar. Some say through and through Yisachar.
Who?
Yeah. Bnei Yisachar. Well, it's called Bnei Yisachar. And many Minhag Ashkenaz, probably most people over here, when you go to shul, they do not pronounce the sin. And why not? So a very big mystery. One, it's not really clear. One, there's a medrash that says that Yisachar had a son called Yoif. He had a son called Yoif, and that was his name. They're Bris Milah Yoif. Then after the Bris Milah, they started saying, Yoif is named Avodah Zarah. So name of Avodah Zarah. He called his son after Avodah Zarah. So he was so distraught that you only can do this in ancient times. Today it's not going to work. So he donated a letter from his name to his child. So no longer should be called Yoif. He should be called Yoshuv. And whatever that means, it means. So he gave away the letter of his name. Even though he was called Yisachar, he gave to his child part of his name because whatever reason. And therefore, we only can call him now Bezman Hazeh Yisachar. Another reason is because it's Sneas. It teaches a very powerful lesson in Sneas. Why did he come into existence? Because Leah purchased the right of the Mishkav of Yaakov. That night, Yaakov was meant to be with Rachel, and Rachel wanted the dudo'ei bino, they wanted the flowers, there's some type of fertility type of, so they say some was used for fertility purposes, so she wanted it. So it's fine, if you want it, I'll give it to you, provided that Yaakov will come to me. So that's one reason why he's called Yisachar, because he was hired. She bartered the fertility pills in order to allow Yaakov to come to her that night. And another reason why he's called Yisachar is Hashem gave her reward for giving over her maid Zilpah to Yaakov. So there are two reasons why she called him Yisachar. Number one, she paid for the right of being that her husband should be with her that night. Number two, Hashem rewarded her for her good deed of allowing Zilpah to marry Yaakov Avinu. It's not sneistic. It's not sneistic to talk about these things in public. That the person should go around his whole life, I have two sins? Because my mother paid so that my father can come over to her apartment that night. That lacks sneis. And it's a lesson for Klal Yisrael, not everything should be said in public. And I mean, it's a very big debate. I think I'm not saying that. I was shocked. I went to a newspaper this week. Like they wrote this article, and they're, today you don't have to be so tsnua. Today you can talk, and you can say all these things that you want in front of children. No big deal. Different generation. Torah says not like that. The Torah says you don't pronounce the letter sinners because the sin is there, but it's not something which should be taught. Not everything so far from the Kutzka. Not everything that you think you should say. Not everything you say you should write. And not everything you should write, you should publish. Not everything that's published, you should read. So there are madrigals, and we learn that from the sin in Yisachar.
So a lot of them that also, when they name their kids Yisachar, they spell it in one sin.
One sin. They don't even spell the second sin, because it's not going to be pronounced. Okay, now, I'm still waiting for a good shot. We told this yesterday, Hake by the Rasha, Hake Ashina has not got his teeth. Take away the shins. I'm still waiting for a good shot. One thing I left out very important, that the reason why there are two shins on the tillin is sus. Sus, anokhi alim rasecha, It's al imra sech on your words that the reason why we're tefillin is lamantia toras Hashem beficha. It's all about Torah. Sus. When you have the tefillin, you have two sins. The two sins together spell joy. The shin on the right, the shin on the left. Sus. You have to rejoice. Sus. Anoch al imra sech anoch yisharav. We once discussed on Friday that tefillin always represents the year of fear. That begin a bit of adam. Rejoice. Rejoice together with trepidation. You have to have both. Yira and Simcha balance out one another. Through Yira you come to Simcha. What? Shas? No, then Sus. Two sins.
No, I say Shas.
Shin sin? Shin and sin. Six. That's Daniel. Daniel was called. Daniel suffered six tragedies. He was called Sheish Batzar, right? Sheish Batzar. I think I remember two sins. Sheish Moshtar. Linen. Sheish also was linen. 2 years. There's a lot. I don't know the answer why this is significant. Sheish linen. Sheish is also six. He suffered. Also, one of the reasons why there are two, another reason I remember now, why we have two shins on the tefillin is that we wear tefillin 6 days a week. Okay, it's another sheish. We don't wear it on Shabbos. Shabbos, you don't need tefillin because Shabbos itself is an ois. Shabbos, you have the strimal. Shabbos is Rosh Tevis. Shabbos is Rosh Tevis. Strimal, bimkoim tefillin. So Shabbos, you don't need the tefillin, only 6 days, not on Shabbos.
What they should do?
Strimal bimkoim tefillin. It's not going to work for the Sardin. It's not going to work for the Litvax who have a black hat. Okay, one other thing about shin, and it's a little bit extreme, is that shin represents the concept of chena. You're not going to like this, but I'll tell you anyway. In the letter shin, there are four yuds. Where are we for yuds? The top three, and the bottom. The bottom, the base, is also a yud. And then there are three vavs that connect, that make this connection between the bottom yud and the top. So you add up all the yuds, four yud is 40, plus another three vavs, 6 times 3, 18. So total of 58. What is 58? Chayin. So shin, to a certain degree, represents chayin. They say that, al pi kabbal, they say that it's the most graceful. They say the shin from all the letters of the Aleph Beis is the most graceful because of the angles and how it turns and twists and turns. Alright, this is what it says. It's not my stuff. This is what it says. It's an idea. It represents the concept. The shin represents the concept of chen. Noyach motza chen. Okay, I think I kamat got everything. Just make sure I didn't leave anything out. Okay, this is an important idea that in learning you do find all over. Let me take a step back. Shelek. We always like to make parallels between the different levels of the quantum leaps in the Aleph Beis. The third letter is Gimel. That's the third of the digits. The third of the tens is Lamed. And the third of the hundreds is Shin. We discussed yesterday Bechor. And we discussed the concept of Malchus, the two doubles. What about all the threes? So I don't have a good... So the threes, I don't have a good answer in what it means. But when you go backwards, Shin, Lamed, Gimel, what do you get? Shelek. Shelek is the opposite to a certain degree of fire. Fire produces smoke. This is brought down that smoke, shelig and smoke are opposites. In Yoni, I don't know in science if there's such a thing concept, but a kitar v'ruach sar, where the Mizmor Chazal, they write about this, is that there's something called smoke. Smoke occupies a very big place in halacha. You bring the mala oshan, the ketores, the smoke has to go in a column. There's a concept of smoke, whatever smoke represents. Sheleg is the opposite of smoke. It's where something, where moisture solidifies into a byproduct, which is the opposite of heat, which is snow. Okay, there's some truth to this concept. And it's interesting. Shin represents ish. Ash produces, when you burn something, you produce smoke. When you go backwards, the same series of letters, the third, the shin, the lamed, the gimel, the three is backwards, but what's the product that you produce? You produce shelek. Very interesting idea. Fire is related to shin is shin relates to base, the atbash, we asked it 10 times, shin and base, because what does fire do? What does shin is fire? What does fire do? It breaks apart an object into its parts. Fire destroys. When you burn something, you break apart the components, the molecular structure. The molecular structure of an object is broken apart into the smallest parts possible in this world through the koyach of fire. So base represents pirda, represents separation. That is done through the shin. What? Takes out impurities, it breaks things apart, so the shin relates to letter base. Now in halacha, we find in the Gemara all over the place 300 halachas. There was a Talmud Chacham, a Tana, and he taught 300 halachas about Nagoyim. 300 halachas about Migdol Perech Ba'adir. 300 halachas about Machashefa. Machashefa lo sech, this expash, Machashefa lo sechaya. What's going on? Why do we find in the Gemara, always tells us certain Tanaim when they wanted to show their expertise in halacha, 300. So the answer is because Torah is called Esh. Ki koy devarai Hashem ki esh. We have many references, esh shechayr al esh levana. I don't have a front wheel of psukim, but there are many psukim in Tanakh which compare Torah to the koyach of fire. And fire, shin, what is shin? Shin is fire. And we do shamayim, esh shamayim. Shin is tukdash, tukad esh, shin is fire. When fire burns, what is the numerical value of shin? It's also 300. So when a Tana wants to show his expertise in all the various forms of Torah, it's always represented with the number 300. Because 300 represents ki koy devarai ki esh nur mashem, esh. He fights it, Selah, breaks into many sparks, and the many sparks always capture 300. 300 is also a number for a guzma. Many times you find guzmos, always use 300. Now they say this, we have to come to the letter Tav. Some of us want to say is that really the last letter of the Aleph is not Tav. The letter Tav is like the wrapping. It's like, you know, the packaging. The last letter of the Aleph is the letter Shin. That's the Gemara. Is the packaging. You gotta package all the letters in the letter, you know, it's achroin chaviv. And therefore, when the Gemara gives exaggerations, you want to say, wow, we give the largest letter of the Aleph Beis. The largest letter of the Aleph Beis is Shin, because really it's the last, the Tav we'll see. The letter Tav is not necessarily a letter, it's more of the packaging. Again, the Shin is the most chaviv. Remember we had that vote we spoke about? What is chaviv? Acharoin chaviv. It doesn't mean the last, because if it meant the last, it would say acharoin chaviv. Acharoin is chashiv, but chaviv, precious, is the second to last. So in this context, if you want to say that the shin is the second to last, shin is the acharoin chaviv of the letters of the Aleph base. Okay, now I don't know, we have a... All right. Okay. Let me just make sure I got everything. I think pretty much. Shemayim sheker nochosh. Sheker ein le raglayim, doesn't have legs. Who's the first one to lose their legs? The nochosh. Why? The nochosh. Because the nochosh spoke sheker. Okay. On the mezuzah, what do you see? On the outside of the mezuzah, shin, because it says shakai. But some people, they put a case, and what does Shin stand for? Shomer. Everyone knows this. Shomer Dalsos Yisrael. You find in Tanakh that Shekha, alright, we'll leave that out. Okay, that pretty much, I think, covers our Shin. Have a nice day.